Welcome to Life Unexpected, the podcast that explores the stories of women experiencing unplanned pregnancies. I'm your host, Connie Papiani, and I'm the author of You Are Not Disqualified and the creator of an amazing nonprofit called Unexpected Ministries. We provide resources for women experiencing unplanned pregnancies, from practical resources like housing and food, and faith-based resources like mentorship and community. You can go on over to the link in our bio for all the details on that. Life Unexpected podcast is not coupled with any religion or politics, nor does it wish to support or oppose any cause. It is independent of everything outside of the stories that we share here within. Our only purpose is to spread hope by sharing our stories and help other women experience the same. Life Unexpected celebrates the milestones of its listeners, so we'd like to spotlight you on our next episode. You can email us via the link in the description. And if you'd like to share your story here as a guest speaker on future episodes, you can email us at the same link. Our topics come directly from the chapters in our host book, You Are Not Disqualified. So you can click the link in the description and get your free copy and follow along with us. That won't always be free. So I encourage listeners to go and get that copy now. In each episode, we will read a section of the chapter and open the episode to our speaker, followed by a brief discussion on the topic. Our episodes last 30 minutes in length and are published every Tuesday. And today, we are joined by an amazing speaker with an amazing story, Ladora, who's going to share on chapter 5 today. I encourage you to follow along. And with that, I'm going to pass it on to you, Ladora.
All right. Happy, happy Tuesday. I am Ladora, Ladora Striblin, and I'm excited to be here to just share my story. The chapter that I'm going to focus on today from the book is chapter 5. So I'll start there and then share a little bit about myself and my story, and then we can go from there. And I think this is such a powerful chapter because that guilt is one of those things that can keep you stuck, you know. So when I saw it, I was like, yeah, this is the one. So guilt is a lie. Chapter 2. Guilt and remorse are the devil's pathetic attempt to gain our friendship. Abortions forced or voluntary will leave you remorseful. The problem is remorse is a lie. God tells us the ultimate cause of guilt in the story of Judas. Let's visit Matthew 27, 3-5. Then Judas, who had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought the 30 pieces of silver again to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that? And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, departed and went and hanged himself. When I was 18, I did everything to avoid having an abortion. I was terrified and felt abandoned and eventually was forced and pressured into fear. So paralyzed, I no longer could think for myself or hear from God. I could only speak to my own experiences, and as a result, the remorse I felt was beyond unbearable. I felt imprisoned by my pain and paralyzed by my sadness. One morning after waking up feeling completely hopeless, I had the idea to call the nurses at the office where I had a medical procedure. I wanted to find a support group or counseling for girls experiencing post-abortion remorse. When I got a nurse on the phone, I asked for information on post-abortion support services. She laughed. She didn't even know what I meant by it. I asked if no one had ever called about this before. She said no, and that she had never heard of such a thing. At that moment, I had the idea to start my support group. I felt a hushed whisper from God to use my story to help others. The nurse on the phone laughed at me, but I was serious. She said, good luck with that, and hung up the phone. For a few moments after that phone call, I thought about ways I could start my support group. But the sting of the nurse's reactions fed the wrong voices, the voice that were so much louder than God. Instead of stepping forward to obedience, I covered in fear. I proceeded to drink myself into a severe abuse of alcohol for the next 15 years. God turned pain into purpose, and the enemy turned my pain into torture. Through the scoffing of the nurse's voice, God was trying to tell me, I am your support group. You are not alone. You are correct. There are many other girls like you. You are correct. There's no support for them. We can be there for support. While writing this portion of the book, God whispered again to me and said the pain wasn't part of the plan. I didn't understand then that God was trying to do something new in me. He was trying to make triumph out of my tragedy. I dismissed the call. I turned off the desire. I quieted the voices. And by doing so, the enemy entered. When remembering the past, I love to turn to Psalms 23, which reads, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod, your staff, thou comfort me." Now that I know I can do better. Ah, that's good. So again, I'm Ladora Stribling. I am excited to be able to just share my story about my unexpected pregnancies. I actually have a couple of stories, but today what I want to do is, because after I read that, I have to be obedient and I have to share what the Holy Spirit told me to share. So currently, I'm a mother. I'm a mother of an 8-year-old amazing son, but my story did not start there. My story started back when I was in the 12th grade in high school. This chapter really stood out for me, especially as I was reading it today, because even after having my son, even after going through life on life terms, that's one of those things that still, fear of guilt, fear of shame, that still hunt me today, right? I don't want people to know that part of the story. You want to tell them about the unexpected that's here, but what about the unexpected that's not here? So out of obedience, I'm going to just share on that particular experience. When I was 12th grade in high school, I had an abortion. I was on my way. I was a senior in high school, and I found myself in a unfamiliar, surprising situation. And I was at loss for words. I'll never forget the day. I was working at a dentist's office, and instead of going to the dentist's office, I went to Hope Clinic, and it was basically a free clinic where you could go and you could go get tests so that you could find out if you were pregnant or not. So I went to the Hope Clinic. I got a test, and I found out that day at the age of about 17 that I was indeed pregnant. And I just remember all of the thoughts of sadness just raining in. I didn't know who, what, how to respond, because it was just one of those things that I wasn't prepared for. I don't think anything could prepare me for that day. I'm in high school. I'm not married, and my parents were strict. So it's like, well, what do you do? So I remember going there, and I will never forget that specific day. One of my aunts called me and was like, "Hey, I think I see your car over at the Hope Clinic." And I was like, "No, that's not me." I lied again. Shame, guilt. So I kept that in for time and time again. And I remember telling the father of the child, like, "Hey, you know, I'm pregnant." Thinking like, "Hey, like, maybe I'll get some support here." It was almost like getting a laugh. Like, yeah, good luck with that. But I remember kind of feeling ignored, feeling unheard, unseen. And I remember I finally told my mom, and we sit there. Again, this is unexpected. Nobody saw this coming. I didn't see it coming. And I remember at some point or another, the decision being made with me that it would be best that I had an abortion. It would be best that I had an abortion because I wasn't set to have a child. Two, the father was not at that moment. He wasn't ready to step up. And three, I had so much shame, but I didn't know the guilt that was going to come afterwards. So I went and I had an abortion, and I remember going in and they put me under because I thought that I was going to just be able to sit there with my eyes open, but I wasn't. I said, "Hey, look, I need to go to sleep." And I had the abortion and I came out, and I didn't know for the next 10 years that guilt would overshadow me and that I would feel this overwhelming sense of guilt, shame, hurt, and pain that I couldn't talk about because I felt so guilty about what I had done. And I felt so hurt, and I didn't know if God forgave me. I knew he forgave me, right? But I didn't have anybody to talk to about this situation. I just sit in it. year after year after year. And I remember one day I got the courage to post on Facebook, if there's any ladies out there who have ever had an abortion and you feel this guilt and shame, reach out to me. I think we should start a support group. And I remember there were so many responses in my inbox. That was the day I said, you know what, no longer will I allow this guilt to, because if I was hunting for all those years, I need somebody to get restored, renewed. The interesting thing about that situation was what happened next. The same ladies who had reached out after they were bold enough to reach out in the inbox, they said, hey, no, I'm okay now. And I imagine they felt the same way that I felt. Yeah, I feel guilty. Yeah, I feel shame, but I don't want to talk about it. You know why? Because when I talk about it, it hurts. When I talk about it, it's painful. When I talk about it, I feel so many different emotions that trying to tell you how I feel, I don't even feel like I can communicate with you openly about this. I can't even communicate with myself about this. So that's what I felt led to share today. That guilt can be something that will hunt you. And one thing what I found is that in this season, and it, especially when there's a time where you've made a decision, like God loves us so much. Oh my gosh, he loves us so much. When Jesus died for our sins, he didn't die for one of them. He died for every last one of those. So we make our choices, right? But don't live in that. Don't allow that to hunt you and to keep you stuck, and that you have to sit in that thing a lot longer than what you really need to. Repent and go forward, because we can sit there and we can overthink it and overdo it, and then it'll continue to just hunt us. But God forgives you. He forgives you. He loves you so much. And I just pray that any lady who may be feeling that guilt, whether it was recent, whether it's old, whether it was talked about or whether it has never been spoken, that today you find it, the strength in you to release it. Release it so that you can be completely restored and know that you are more than enough. You always have been enough. Regardless why you had to have it or why you made the decision or the choice, right now you are feeling the guilt that you're really not, unexpectedly felt that guilt afterwards and you didn't know. And now you're sitting in it, and I'm just saying, give yourself permission to release it. And I'm just feeling let, write it out. Write it out if you need to, say it out. But no, you're not alone. That was over 10, 15 years for me. And I can tell you, when I tell this, I still feel the pain of that process. But I can tell you right now that it's also power in that process, a power to heal and to be restored. So that's what I feel led to share today.
So good, so good, so good, so good. Wow. So first, thank you for the courage, you know, to be so transparent, to share these things. Thank you for whatever work you did in your relationship with God from that moment to where you are now that allowed you to speak. Because that girl silenced, and here we are sharing about it. Just thank you. Thank you. Wow, there's so many good things. And if you're listening today, I just want to give a little disclaimer to our listeners first, and then we're going to dive deep into this because there's so much here. But two things. To the listener that is in that space of just finding out that you're pregnant and feels like abortion is the only solution because you just need to make it go away, that space, I want to talk right into it, that Unexpected Ministries has a mandate over it to come into that space to say that we have the financial resources and we have the relational support that you're not getting from family, that you're not getting from the partners. We want to talk to you. We want to talk to you, and it's unbiased and we're aligned with nothing. We just want to present you with some other solutions and then make your decision. That's number one. Number two, I want to invite the women that are listening, like you and I, who have experienced abortion and post-abortion remorse, that we are going to have monthly healing nights. I think the first one is at the end of this month. I will post it in the description here, but like October 30th, something like that. But we're going to have monthly supernatural healing and deliverance from post-abortion remorse nights. And I'm inviting women like you, Lidora, to come and help and pray over these girls. You know, if you're not in the space where you can share the story at least just show up and, you know, receive the love of God that is just so, so ready and available to you. So that being said, I want to hear a little bit more about how the shame and the guilt after that. So I feel like making the decision to have the abortion in the first place, we feel like that's going to make it all go away without any anticipation that there's going to be a post period, right? No one ever talked about that. So now we're coming off of the end of all these overwhelming emotions and kind of, like you said, like shameful emotions of like finding out you're pregnant. And then, oh my God, why am I feeling this way? Like, I'm embarrassed that I even feel this way about my reaction to it. Right. And then all the shame about it coming right off of that into this post-abortion remorse and stage. And without any healing at that point, I want to kind of hear, because I know for me, it turned into alcoholism. Straight up. How did that manifest itself in your life as you move forward in your relationships and you know, becoming a mother even?
So I did it backwards. Let me tell you what I did. And I honestly, now that you say this, honey, it just made me realize some things that I did that I didn't even know until now. And thank you, Holy Spirit, because I needed to hear this and I needed to process this. Who would have thought? So the main reason I felt like I got an abortion, right? Because I financially didn't have it. I didn't have this. You know what I did? I obsessed over work. When I say obsessed, quickly, I grew in my career. When I was in high school, I was kind of like quiet. I wasn't in the popular crowd. I was an understudent, but wasn't, you know, in the in crowd. But when I went to college, I flourished. Like, they were like, oh my God, Sedora had a rebirth. I had something to prove, right? In my mind. So what I did is every summer I went on internships and then eventually I went in my career and I had the opportunity to travel the world and I had the opportunity to do all of these amazing things. Nice. But what I realized today only was I did all of those things, even though the outside world saw it as, again, public success. But in reality, I was coming up this private failure from feeling like I had to overdo it in this to prove my decision. So I overdid it. And I would always say this, and I know this to be just simply a word curse. Now, one thing I know I can do well is I can work well. I have a really great way of doing my career, my business. Relationships, not so good, right? Because I have a problem over there. But what I can do is I can work really hard. So for me, it turned into overdoing. And see, when you're in that mode of overdoing, you will also start to, I too am an alcoholic that I didn't realize until I was 30, but I've been in recovery for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
But because I was in this mode of constantly overdoing it, alcohol was my solution. It wasn't my actual problem. The problems were things like we're talking about today, where I didn't realize the deeper cause. People on the outside thought I was working hard because I was just on this path of success, quote unquote. But in reality, I was covering up the pain and the guilt. I don't have time to share today, but that guilt came even fed over into when I had my son, who's 8 years old now, where I continued because I got a problem. I can't focus on. I just work. So it's still a healing process. And to answer your question, what I found is that I consume myself at work because I wanted to show myself in the world that my decisions, even though they didn't know what decision I made, I overconsume myself at work, and eventually life started lifing and I had to sit down like we're doing today and deal with that guilt and that shame. Some people would probably say, well, that's a good way to do it. It's not right when you're not dealing with what's deep inside, because then what you find yourself doing is overdoing, overthinking, overworking, and not allowing a God to lead and guide you. So now you're working from a place of hurt versus a place of power. So imagine if I would have took that same hurt and I allowed God to use me in a power. If you think I'm somewhere now, imagine where I would have been, right? But when you're working in hurt, so in pain and shame and guilt, hopefully that answered the question.
More than answered it. I felt that. So what stands out to me in both of our stories, right? Alcoholism, or I'm going to put quotes on it, like workaholicism, you know, it's all escaping. And like you said, no one even knew. just escaping from ourselves because it wasn't even something that was you were talking about or anybody knew was even part of you, right? Just escaping from that place where the seed was planted of guilt, shame, remorse, and such pain, right? Running and running and running and whatever that looked like. And I think I almost envy people like that have the isms of like workaholic because it looks so good. Right? The other ones are messy, but yeah. So I think that we can extract from both our stories that without healing, and in my particular experience, it's just been, it's been the blood of Jesus, you know, that removing that, that can remove that guilt, shame, remorse, we will find ways to escape. I can feel very confident in that, in saying that, you know. I also want to highlight, like, you know, you talked about, you know, for 10 years, that was the driving force underneath everything and not even knowing how insidious the enemy is to use shame, to use guilt, to insidious. We don't even know, right? And I love that you just shared now that walking around, see, I feel this overwhelming responsibility to my children, right? To keep them protected and safe from any viruses, any colds, any sicknesses, any contagious things that are out there, right? Yet I was walking around in motherhood. Now I have three children, motherhood for all those years, 22 years, right? With the same, like a virus of guilt, shame, and remorse and functioning from that space, right? And so the contagious, you know, behaviors that I hadn't, didn't even know that they all contract, right? All that effort you put in, let me get the Tylenol, let me get the cold medicine, let me wash your hands, let me check your fever. And I am walking around with a contagious disease that they are contracting every day. I just feel so, I say it all the time and I feel so passionate about that. Like, what am I giving to my kids? Right. And so that's what I heard in both of our stories too, just the inheritance of guilt and shame over something that they didn't even do and they don't even know about, you know? So lastly, I want to talk to you about, and I hope I'm not going to put you on the spot, but this is really something that's been like, you know, questioning for me. Like, so if somebody came into that space, the number one reason why girls choose to consider an abortion, right, is usually the relational support. So lack of support from parents or partner. And then the second is the financial, right? But those are the top two. And that's where we came in as a ministry, you know? So reflecting back, if somebody came to you in that space and said, here you go, what, would that have that had any influence on your decisions? What do you think? Not to say that that wasn't always going to be the path to have an abortion, but do you think it would have helped in that space, like fulfilling those two needs?
You know, I honestly, here's the thing, and this is something that I always think about. I believe strongly, had I made the choice to keep my baby, right, and not have an abortion, I strongly believe my mom would have been there to support me 100%. So, Ken, I'm about to put my mom's business out there. I didn't find out until I was that age that my mom had an abortion as well. My mom's only child. So now I'm seeing this cycle, right? This cycle. Ooh. So I really, truly believe if I would have, you know, like if I would have felt the, it was, you know, it's that unhealed trauma will cause repeated cycles that you don't even know until they happen.
Right. See what we just say.
So if there had been a place or space that would help me to navigate, I definitely feel like it would have made a bigger decision, right? Because if you take finances out the picture, having a support group, people that to know you're not alone can be that big. See, I can't help you if I'm hurting, right? My mom, even if she wanted to be there, her first option was, let's look at this because you have all of this ahead of you. I don't want you to do or feel or be in a place like I was. If you do this, like she saw all of that and she's very open. So she would definitely, I know she would not have a problem with it to share it. So then here I am, boom. Yet again, I'm in that same place, unexpected, didn't know. she wasn't healed, so she couldn't help heal me. So I need people who are healed, right, to help me through navigate this thing. Because hurt people, not even knowing it, not even intentionally. So, yeah, I feel like if I would have had that type of support group where there was like, hey, look, there's healing in this process. Let's talk through it. Let's talk through the options. Let's digest it. When I went to the clinic that I went to, they gave me a test and they told me the options and she prayed with me.
Yeah.
But it wasn't what I needed at that moment. I wasn't even ready to like deal with anything at that point. I was like, huh, what me? Huh? No. You know, so yeah, I feel like it definitely would have made an even bigger difference if I had that support system, something that was in place. But then you have to be open to the support, right?
Right. You just reminded me about how first time, so my first abortion was 18 too, and going to the clinic and getting the pregnancy test and the positive pregnancy test, them coming back and saying that, the immediate next question was, so what are you going to do? Are you going to keep it? Like immediate. Now that was 1999. I don't know how it is now, but that's how it was. Because it was like, okay, so if you're not going to, this is what we can do. You know, like they had a whole lot of services if you don't want your baby. Right?
And then, can I just share this?
Yeah.
Honey, what they did to me was like the opposite, right? And this is, I think, what kind of almost like, and at that point, if I remember correctly, it didn't even create guilt. What it did was create a urgency. She said, well, you know, condemnation, this is what, abortion is against God's will. That's what she told me. Now, mind you, I'm in a place of hurt, pain. I don't even know what I'm expecting. So there wasn't an open conversation.
Was this a facility?
Or like condemnation, boom. Yeah.
This was a Christian facility or was it?
It was. And so, well, what I will say, she did pray with me. Mm-hmm. But at that moment, all I could feel was like, I don't even know what to do or what to expect at this moment.
Yeah.
First thing out your mouth, these are your options. I haven't processed this thing yet.
Yeah.
And honestly, at that point, I feel like, then I was like more hurt because I'm like, so you are going to try it. In a way, tell me my choices and then condemn me by, this can't be what it is like. So in reality, I kind of felt like, well, hey, listen, I feel like a rebel, just like, okay, well, you're going to talk about me anyway, you know? Right. So regardless, it's no place, it's not an open space for me to be able to really have this conversation. And it's, you know, it was just one of those things. I just had to share that because there are going to be places, and I would just say, don't allow that to condemn you.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't allow anyone else's opinion to try to, like, you have to deal with you, you know? So, yeah. I don't know. For me, I remember that now that I sit and I remember, I'm like, man, that was hurtful too. Like, the pain immediately started.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I think about it.
Yes, you're right about that because the rush, you even shared that in your share that there's like a rush of all these overwhelming emotions, right? And now here you are sitting in that space and people are asking you what decisions you're going to make. You can't make decisions, you know? You're processing all these overwhelming feelings and feelings that I never had before. And I was a little like having that self-judging talk of like, wow, this is how you're feeling about this? Like, you know, not even proud of myself for feeling the way that I was, if that makes any sense, you know? You don't know. So yeah, there's absolute irresponsibility, I think, in the majority of the resources that are out there. You know, that's just based on my own experience, you know? And so I think that that is what God's trying to do. Like he feels like his princesses are lost. And let me just add too, in writing this book, he revealed to me that like, he knows you have a choice. He knew that Ladora would be living in this era, that Connie would be living in this era where that was a choice. Politics is not even part of it. God's above that, right? And so, like, at the time that I had my first abortion, I was very, very active in my church at that time. I didn't have the relationship with God that I know now, but that was part of my life. And then that immediate shut off, like as if the doors to the church were closed when I went through this experience, that, oh, well, that option, I guess the God option's out for me, you know? It's just it's part of this lie. You know, and I want girls to hear that, like, God knows you have a choice. Whatever choice you make, he's in it with you. Whatever choice you make, he wants to be there with you. You know, that's why I feel like he's now post Roe versus Wade stuff because people are paying attention to it, even though he's above it and conquered all of it, is saying, like, I know, child. I know. And it's okay. You know? Come to me and we're going to restart. Come to me and I'm going to show you. Right? You have any last thoughts on, like, the things that came up? There's a lot there. And I'm just so grateful for, like, all your transparency in this. Is there anything else that, you know, came to you that you want to share before we close out?
Just remember that every process deserves to be processed. Like, that's just the main thing. Like, every process deserves to be processed.
What would you want to say to the girls that are 18-year-old in high school, getting their positive test, trying to come to their mama today? What would you want to say to them?
Breathe. Literally breathe. Because at that moment, you can feel like your whole world is just kind of like, you know, I only know how I felt in that moment, and to have to share with my mother, who was, you know, primarily a single mom. At that time, her and my dad were married, but it was just like, breathe, because like, it's so easy not to.
Yeah.
Breathe. Yeah. Like, and I'm literally having to breathe now. I don't know why, but that's so heavy on me. Just.
That's the space where it all gets, you know, the shield comes up and he can come in. It's the breath. So good, Ladora. Oh my goodness, goodness, goodness. We're going to definitely put a comma and to be continued on this conversation. I feel like there's much more that we can go into, and I'd love to have you back on another episode so we can like discuss those things, kind of pull out a couple of the gems that we went over. But thank you so much for sharing today. And that concludes this episode of Life Unexpected Podcast. And I'd like to thank Ladora. I'm going to give you this space right now to let people know what work you're doing today and how they can follow you, how they can stay in touch with you.
All right. So I'm a virtual partner in business. So I help ease the minds and save business owners' times by doing tasks that they would like to get off their plate. So that's website development, graphic designs, app development. We're more on the tech side of the world. You can connect with us on Facebook at Virtual Partners in Business, Virtual Partners in Business. I love vlogging. So I've always been doing that for years. So you can connect with me at Exploring with Dora 365 for all things with Dora. So yeah, stay connected. I look forward to just continuing to connect and just be a light to those who might feel like they're in darkness.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Good work. So if this benefited, you know, you today, to our listeners, or if you can think of someone that this would help, please, by all means, share out this podcast, subscribe, get those alerts so you don't miss one, and share with your friends. So Unexpected Ministries, on November 4th, we are doing a 24-hour, and Ladora, you're invited. I'm going to send you an invite. a 24-hour share-a-thon of women to share their stories to officially launch Unexpected Ministries and to support our formula fund. So we're looking for donors to purchase cases of formula so that after you experience Unexpected Ministries for your 9 months, the next 3 months, you'll be able to receive cases on a monthly basis of formula to help support the infancy stages of your baby. And that'll be basically midnight to midnight on November 4th, going live on Zoom and Facebook and Instagram. And we're just going to have all day long share-a-thon. We have a couple of sponsors backing us on that. I just encourage everybody to come and hear these powerful stories like Ladora's and come and support the cause. And with that, I'm going to pass it back to Ladora. And would you like to pray us out, love?
Yes, yes, yes. Father God, thank you for the obedience of Connie, God. Thank you for the time we've been able to spend, God, today and just share, God. Father God, right now, we just pray for each and every lady who will listen to this podcast, God. Allow them to be, allow their mind to be eased, God. Allow them to just completely to connect with you and build relationship with you, God. You love them so much, God. So just allow what needs to be received to be received in this season, God. Allow whoever needs to receive this to receive it when it's needed, God. Right now, we just pray that guilt, shame, and pain be sent back to the sender, God. we know that you love us unconditionally, God. So right now, we just pray for anyone who's experiencing guilt, shame, or pain, God. We ask that you just heal them from the inside out, God. Allow them to process their process, God. Allow them to know who and whose they are, God. And allow them to be able to be powerful and walk boldly in all that you have for them, God. Right now, we pray against the isms, God, the things that we try to overdo, overthink because of things we've done, hurts, habits, hangups, God. Right now, we just pray that you just reveal to us so that we can go through our process and be healed by your name, Jesus. And we just thank you and we praise you. And we just ask that you just completely give us peace and strength in this season. Heal us from the top of our head to the sole of our feet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.